Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With 6 hospital campuses, Christus Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us, and through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
My dear friends, we have with us today the good sisters, I believe, from the good sisters from Incarnate Word, from the hospital. Anyway, today we want to send out our congratulations to the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word and Christus Spahn Health System as they celebrate 110 years of service to this community and to the Church. We pray that the Holy Spirit may guide their work and bless abundantly their efforts to maintain and extend the Church's mission in the healing ministry of Jesus Christ in the Coastal Bend. And we have a surprise visitor with us today, an old crony friend of mine from Fort Worth, along with Lee Guodes up on the organ. We've known each other forever in 10 years. Father Greg Labus from the Diocese of Brownsville. And a pleasure to have my first opportunity to celebrate with him since his ordination. I remember when he came to me to visit me in Baton Rouge, when I was there, and he asked me the question. He says, "I'm thinking about becoming a deacon." And I says, "Well, why?" I says, "Why stop at deacon? Go all the way to the priesthood." Voila. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And with your spirit.
Brethren, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done, and in what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault. Therefore I ask Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Kyrie eleison.
Let us pray. O God, protector of those who hope in you, without whom nothing has firm foundation, nothing is holy, bestow in abundance your mercy upon us, and grant that, with you as our ruler and guide, we may use the good things that pass in such a way as to hold fast even now to those that ever endure. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the Book of Kings. A man came from Baal, Shalisha, bringing to Elisha, the man of God, 20 barley loaves made from the first fruits and fresh grain in the ear. Elisha said, "Give it to the people to eat." But his servant objected, "How can I set this before 100 people?" Elisha insisted, "Give it to the people to eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat, and there shall be some left over." And when they had eaten, there was some left over, as the Lord had said. The word of the Lord.
The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs. The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs.
All your works shall thank you, O Lord, and all your faithful ones bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your reign and declare your mighty deeds. The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The hand of the Lord. The Lord is just in all his ways and holy in all his deeds. The Lord is close to all who call him, who call on him in truth. The hand of the Lord.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, I, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another through love, striving to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. One body and one spirit, as you were also called to the one hope of your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. The word of the Lord.
Has risen in our midst. God has visited his people. Alleluia,
alleluia,
alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good are these for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place, so the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had had their fill, he said to the disciples, "Gather the fragments left over so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him a king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. The Gospel of the Lord.
My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord was not only a great teacher, he was also a gracious host. He had the wisdom to understand that man cannot live by bread alone, but he also had the common sense to know that we cannot live without it. There are times in the New Testament Gospels when he showed as much concern for feeding people's bodies as he did for enlightening their minds or redeeming their souls. The Gospel reading for today is one of those times. A huge crowd of people had followed our Lord to a rather empty area on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. It was a sparsely settled region, which allowed them some private time for thought and discussion. But in the afternoon, the Lord looked up and saw the crowd of people coming toward them. They had traveled by foot all the way from the western shores of the lake in search of Christ. When our Lord saw them, and took stock of their number and how tired and hungry they were, his first concern was what and how to feed them. Christ turned to his disciples. But as far as his disciples were concerned, the task was impossible. Saint Philip observed that 200 days' wages, which was probably all that the apostles had in the common fund, would not buy enough bread to give everyone a bite. St. Andrew mentioned that there was a boy present who offered his small lunch of 5 barley loaves and 2 dried fish. But then he quickly added, "But what is that amongst so many?" If St. Andrew felt that way, you can imagine how the boy must have felt. Like any normal boy, he was hungry at mealtime, and he had barely enough for himself. But there he was, completely surrounded by hungry people. The size of the problem made his little contribution seem utterly useless. He had to feel overwhelmed. Why even bother to try? There was nothing he could do. He might as well slip away somewhere and eat his little meal all alone. Such a feeling of inadequacy and futility is not an uncommon experience. There are times when all of us share that feeling of insignificance and helplessness in the face of overwhelming odds. We look at our world with all its accumulated needs and problems, everything from hunger to hatred, from violent crime to political corruption. Then we look at ourselves and our limited personal resources. And the predictable reaction is, what can I do? We feel like that little boy with his little lunch standing in the midst of a crowd of hungry people. But we should not forget that something happened through that boy that has been worth remembering across the centuries. At the very least, he stands as a symbol of the importance of individuals in the struggle against overwhelming needs. We look at him and are reminded that every worthwhile accomplishment in this world depends upon the attitudes and the actions of individual people. Now, our Lord could have fed the people that day without the assistance of that young boy. The God who sent down manna from heaven to feed the Israelites in the wilderness doubtless could have done the same to feed a hungry crowd on the shores of the Lake of Galilee. But the fact remains, he did not. This was the job of his followers. The final resolution of that seemingly insurmountable problem waited upon and could be traced back to the contribution of a nameless boy whose total resources consisted of 5 barley loaves and 2 dried fish. What you and I do or fail to do is of far greater significance than most of us have ever dared to dream. It has been said that all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. If that is indeed true, then surely we could turn it around and say that all that is necessary for good to triumph is for good people to do something. None of us can do it all alone, but all of us, with the help of God, can do something. And over the long haul, that's what counts. Every worthwhile thing that is accomplished in this world depends upon and can be traced back to the attitudes and efforts of individual people strengthened by the grace of God. This truth comes into sharper focus when we come to understand that each of us is more than an individual. We are individuals plus those values and qualities of life for which we stand. The hero in the gospel story was probably just an insignificant peasant boy, like thousands of others just like him in Israel. If he had just given up and gone off all alone to sit down under a tree and eat his little lunch that his mom had packed for him that morning before going off to tend the sheep, and then gone on to live the rest of his life that way, he never would have been much more than that. No one who chooses to live all of life in a little self-centered world ever counts for or amounts to very much. But that same mom probably taught that little boy the generosity and good manners to share what he had with others in need, to be aware of others around him, and to be willing to help. Probably the boy offered to share his food with St. Andrew, or he may have overheard the discussion about the overwhelming problem and decided to do something to help out, whatever he could. On the surface, it seems a rather small thing, a drop of water in the dryness of a desert. Just a little boy willing to share his lunch. But that boy identified himself with some of the greatest godly virtues: unselfishness, commitment, positive action in the face of overwhelming odds. And by doing that, he became more than just an insignificant peasant boy. He became a little piece of New Testament history. He became a chapter, or at least a paragraph, in the story of redemption. He became part of the answer to an overwhelming problem. We can do the same thing. We are faced with the very same alternatives that confronted that boy. We can turn our lives inward or outward. We can go off and sit down under a tree and eat our little lunch all alone, or we can stand in the presence of Christ, identify with his values and courage, and say, "Here is what I have to offer. It isn't much, but if you can use it, it's all yours." It is true that our lives, lived all alone, lived in self-seeking and self-gratification, don't mean much, don't stand for much, and don't make much difference. But it is also true that no one, not even the simplest among us, has to live that way. Our world today is confronted by problems of critical proportion. They tower above us. They defy solution. Their size and their complexity boggle the minds of even the wisest leaders. But if we could break those problems down and trace them back to their origins, sooner or later we would come to individual lives. And there lies the heart of the matter. The great problems of the world are nothing more and nothing less than the accumulated problems of individual lives. We're all involved one way or another. But we do have a choice as to the nature of our involvement. We can be part of the problem or part of the solution. That is our only choice. We've got to be one or the other. Even when we choose to do nothing, choose not to get involved, we become part of the problem. The great needs and causes of our day are crying out for the support of our individual lives. Consider, for example, the matter of peace. How desperately our world needs peace. But break it down. We can never have peace on a global scale until and unless we have peace in the nation. And we cannot have peace in the nation without peace in the community, on the job, at the office, at school, in the home, in our own souls. After a while, it gets back to you and me. We cannot resolve the tensions of the world, but we can commit our lives to the values of our Lord Jesus Christ and take our 5 barley loaves and 2 dried fish and plunk them down on the side of peace. We can contribute something to the great cause right where we live each day in our own little slice of life. The same thing is true of honesty. How can we ever hope to have honesty between nations and at the upper levels of government if we don't have honesty at the grassroots? Ultimately, an honest nation boils down to just plain people who tell the truth and then stand up for it. Just think how wonderful life might be if every man, woman, and child got together and decided to be virtuous, even for just one day. And so we must never say that individuals don't count. In the final analysis, they're the only ones that do count. One little boy with a set of values and the willingness to offer one little lunch to the Lord made a big difference 2,000 years ago, and there is every reason to believe that we can make as much a difference in our world today with our own little contribution to the goodness and love of our Lord and Master. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us stand and profess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead,
and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us turn to God, who gives us his bread from heaven and knows all our needs. In faith, we present to him our prayers.
That the church may be a constant and steadfast sign of God's kingdom in the world, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That governments will exercise their authority and power for the common good of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That our nation may experience a conversion of heart and a return in penance and sorrow to our covenant with God, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That those who suffer from loneliness or alienation may take comfort in the Lord, who lovingly draws near to all who seek him, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That the suffering and the dying may be strengthened by the love of God and his promise of eternal life, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all those who serve in our armed forces and for their families and loved ones, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of Pete Gonzalez, Jr., Minnie Gonzalez, Robert E. and Hannah G. Haglin, and Robert E. Haglin, Jr., Deacon Raul Hinojosa, and Leopoldo Luna, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And now, my friends, for all of the prayers that we hold in the silence of our own hearts. For all of these needs, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Father of all that is good, we give you thanks. Hear and answer the prayers we have offered in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord, God of all creation, for through your goodness we have received the bread we offer you, fruit of the earth and work of human hands. It will become for us the bread of life. Blessed are you, Lord, God of all creation, for through your goodness we have received the wine we offer you, fruit of the vine and work of human hands. It will become our spiritual drink. Blessed be God. Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Let us pray. Accept, O Lord, we pray, the offerings which we bring from the abundance of your gifts, that through the powerful working of your grace, these most sacred mysteries may sanctify our present way of life and lead us to eternal gladness. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. For through his Paschal mystery, he accomplished the marvelous deed by which he has freed us from the yoke of sin and death, summoning us to the glory of being now called a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for your own possession, to proclaim everywhere your mighty works, for you have called us out of darkness into your own wonderful light. And so, with the angels and the archangels, with thrones and dominions, and with all the hosts and powers of heaven, we sing the hymn of your glory as without end we acclaim. Thank you. You are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me."
The mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you will to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one Spirit in Christ.
May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May the sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, with your servant Francis, our Pope, and Michael, our Bishop, the Order of Bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who are pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory, through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom and the power and the glory of Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit. Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Peace be with you, brother.
Peace be with you.
Saint John,
peace be with you.
Blessings. Yes.
Peace be with you.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
Hello, I'm Father Han Pham, Rector of Corpus Christi Cathedral. On behalf of Bishop Mulvey and all of us here at the Cathedral, I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.